This is Movies for the Blind, Episode 35, The Stranger, Part 3.
Naturally, we'll try to prevent murder being done.
Hello, and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We're moving toward the end of The Stranger, and a lot went on last time. Nazi hunter Wilson, Edward G. Robinson, figured out that Professor Charles Rankin, Orson Welles, was in fact war criminal Franz Kindler. But then he had to prove it. He's gained some momentum with the discovery of the bodies of Kindler's lieutenant, Meineke, and the family dog, who'd been digging around Meineke a little too much. This forced Rankin to tell his new wife, Mary, Loretta Young, a story of a long-lost love who killed herself and the brother looking for money. But Wilson told her a very different story, complete with film of concentration camps her husband had masterminded. She reacted with denial, running away with her father Adam chasing her. So, let's find out where she goes, in the conclusion of The Stranger. As Mary runs from the house,
Mary!
Adam steps out behind her.
Wait a minute, sister.
She stops and lets him catch up. He embraces her tightly as she sobs.
That is better.
She smiles wildly, catching her breath. He holds her shoulder with one hand and a hand with the other. As they walk together, she rests her head on his shoulder.
You know that your welfare in Noah's means more to me than anything, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
You've got to face this thing with complete honesty, sister. Your entire happiness may well depend on your telling me the absolute truth. If Mr. Wilson is right, and you have innocently married a criminal...
She shakes her head.
Well, then there is no marriage. There's no call upon your loyalty as a wife.
He's good. He's good. He wouldn't hurt anybody except to protect somebody he loved. He's good.
Well, then the truth can't hurt him.
As Wilson steps away from the house, Adam turns Mary to face him.
Charles was not with you that afternoon, sister. I remember you saying so when you came home.
You're against him too, Adam. Yes, you are. You've never liked him. That's why you don't believe me now. Leave us alone now.
She pushes him away and spots Wilson.
He's not a Nazi. He's not one of those people. He's not. Leave us alone.
She runs off, not far from the church. While Adam and Wilson watch.
She has the facts now.
Wilson slips on his coat.
But she won't accept them. They're too horrible for her to acknowledge.
He picks up his case of films.
Not so much that Rankin could be Kindler, but that she could ever have given her love to such a creature. But we have one ally, her subconscious. It knows what the truth is and is struggling to be heard. The will to truth within your daughter is much too strong to be denied.
When Wilson walks off, Adam follows.
Look here, Wilson.
If he's not Charles Rankin, we should be able to expose him without too much difficulty.
I'm not interested in proving that he isn't Charles Rankin. I'm only interested in proving that he's Franz Kindler.
How do you propose to do that?
They stop.
Through your daughter. Unless I'm mistaken, she's headed for a breakdown. That's the usual result of a person being inwardly divided. Rankin will recognize this, and that's what I'm banking on.
What do you mean?
Well, he can't afford to trust a person approaching hysteria. He won't. He'll have to act. He may try to escape before she collapses, which would only be an admission of guilt. Or...
Go on.
He may kill her.
Adam stares at him.
You're shocked at my cold-bloodedness. Well, that's quite natural. You're a father. And it's because you are a father, Judge Longstreet, that I'm talking to you like this. Naturally, we'll try to prevent murder being done. However, the proof that murder is his aim would be the strongest evidence that your daughter could have.
Life-size wooden figures with swords circle the clock in the tower. Inside.
Charles!
Mary climbs the very tall ladder to Rankin.
Listen, strike. 100 years after mother.
It was a trap, Charles, just like you said. Mr. Wilson was there. He tried to tell me that you were a Nazi. And I was supposed to believe it. Imagine you being an escaped Nazi. Oh, he thinks he's very clever, that Wilson. His idea was to horrify me into telling him about the little man.
Who did he say he thought I was?
A Nazi. Franz Kindler. He made it all up just to trick me. But I didn't tell him anything, and I didn't tell Father anything. I outfaced both of them, Charles. He'll be civil enough to prove you're not that Nazi. We'll just find someone who was in your class at college, and he'll identify you, and that's all there'll be to it.
What you say is true. He can't touch me. You're quite safe if you say nothing.
Oh, I won't, Charles. I promise I won't. They can torture him, and I won't tell them anything.
Rankin nods.
Look, chimes have awakened Harper.
He looks down at the townspeople rushing to the church.
We must go down and greet them.
He turns to Mary.
You must act naturally. Smile at them, you understand?
Yes.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
They hold hands.
We'll face them, darling.
They start to descend. Below.
And when she struck that angel-starred margin, it was a sight to behold.
Potter opens the front door.
Professor, you sure knocked it off. My hat's off to you.
The Rankins walk out.
Won't the rector really like it?
What I want to know is, if she's going to chime all night long, how's anybody going to get any sleep?
We'll face them, darling. All of them.
They walk away.
Them chickens yours are going to be on and off the roost every 15 minutes.
Later at home.
Sarah, I've told you I want these curtains drawn. I don't like the sunlight streaming in. It's bad for them.
Miss Mary, that's rubbish, and you know it. Up at the other house, we never close the curtains.
That has nothing to do with it. This is my house, and I want them drawn.
Well, suit yourself, then.
Mary stalks to another window.
It's going to look mighty gloomy for the party.
She freezes.
Is it that time already?
She turns to the door, terrified. Then she draws the last curtains, and Sarah lets in the guests.
Were you able to see when they opened the grave, Mr. Randall? Was
yes.
It too horrible?
Well, not the most pleasant sight.
Oh, there's Mary. Hello, Mary.
She smiles. At Potter's.
Still not prescription. That's part of this business of hate. Sleeping pills, that's another.
Mrs. Rankin.
$1.65.
Okay.
Warm wrap?
No, thanks.
Sleeping pills. Don't approve of them.
No.
Man does a day's work, man gets a night's sleep. Leastways it good until that clock starts bonging every few minutes.
I believe Mrs. Rankin, ordered some ice cream, didn't
he? Ice cream?
Yeah.
Already gone. Fella said he was going past your house, so I give it to him. Mr. Wilson.
Concerned, Rankin hurries off. While at home, Sarah opens the door for Wilson.
Mrs. Rankin.
Wouldn't dream of setting foot up.
He turns to find her looking at him across the room.
Who knows? He might be anywhere.
He walks toward her with a paper bag.
Waiting for a new victim.
I hope you haven't forgotten you were kind enough to invite me, Mrs. Rankin.
Oh, no, of course not, Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Potter asked me to deliver this.
Oh, the ice cream's good. Sarah's waiting for it.
I hope it hasn't melted.
Noah takes it away as Jeff approaches.
Well, I won't detain you any longer.
Yes.
I have a drink for you,
Oh,
Wilson.
Just the medicine I need.
You know Dr. Hippard?
Oh, yes, of course. How are you?
Mary steps away to an elderly woman on the couch.
Grandma Lawrence, can I get you something?
Oh, nothing more, thank you, dear.
She walks among her other guests.
Where's Dr. Rankin?
Oh, he'll be here in just a few minutes.
I want to have a word with him about that clock.
Yes.
Oh,
thank you.
Yes. Show
you
committed 3 weeks ago.
Yes, on my last trip.
The butcher of May I get you so much at that time? And Jack Philippa. And what was that Frenchman's name? Oh, hello, dear.
Hello.
Lambrou. Yes, there may well be 10 or 12 graves out there in those woods.
Mary touches 3 strands of pearls around her neck.
To go.
May I get you some tea?
Oh, thank you, no.
She spots Jeff with Wilson.
Jeff, may I get you...
Rankin arrives.
Remember what Emerson says about crime.
Wilson notices.
Oh, there's Rankin. He may know.
Sorry to be late.
I'm fine, thanks.
Hello, everybody.
Darling.
Oh, hello there, Rankin.
How are you, Mr. Wilson?
You know the quotation?
To Hibbert?
Emerson.
Quotation?
Commit a crime and the earth is made of glass?
No, I don't.
Commit a crime and the earth is made of glass. Commit a crime. Commit a crime and it seems as if a coat of snow fell on the ground, such as reveals in the woods the track of every partridge and fox and squirrel and mole.
Mary touches her pearls again.
You cannot recall the spoken word. You cannot wipe out the foot track. You cannot draw up the ladder so as to leave no inlet or clue.
You're Mr. Wilson, aren't you? Do you know you're our number one suspect in our murder case?
call.
Mary steps away, with Rankin following.
Potter put the finger on you. He thinks you committed the crime to get possession of some priceless antique.
Want a drink, Mr. Wilson?
As she enters the kitchen, her expression falls.
Papa was a nice, quiet place until it started banging.
She pulls out her pearls as Rankin closes the kitchen door.
Mary, what's Wilson doing here?
I don't know.
You invited him, didn't you? What's he after?
I don't know.
He steps closer behind her.
Are you all right?
Yes, quite all right.
Later, the last of the guests leave.
Good night.
Turning to her husband, she touches the pearls again, then reaches back to undo the clasp, but she can't get it undone.
May I help you, dear?
No!
She breaks the necklace, sending pearls everywhere.
No! No!
She turns to the wall, burying her face in her arms. Rankin holds her.
Mary.
No.
Mary.
Sarah notices.
All right, dear.
Rankin looks out of the corner of his eye. Later, at the Longstreet residence.
It broke, and the beads fell all over the floor. He took her upstairs. When I left, I could still hear her crying.
Well, the floodgates have opened. Her subconscious is almost won. From now on, we must know every move that Mrs. Rankin makes. She's never to leave the house unless I know where she's going. If for any reason I can't be found, she's to be detained, no matter on what pretext. You understand, Sarah?
Don't worry. She won't get by me.
When she snapped those beads, she signed her own death warrant. We're carrying her life in our hands. Every time she walks on a slippery sidewalk, is near something that can fall, drives an automobile, anything that could result in accidental death, her life is in danger.
Yes, Judge. She won't get by me.
Later, in the clock tower, a hacksaw scores a rung of the very tall ladder. Rankin saws at the third rung from the top and looks up at the circling sword-wielding figures. At Peabody's, Wilson listens while exhaling pipe smoke. He looks out his window at the clock tower. In her bed, Mary wakes, only barely, rubbing an eye with the back of her hand. She snuggles into sleep again, in the clock tower. Rankin continues scoring ladder rungs, looking down more than 50 feet to the bottom. Later, a list is written, including call Mary at 3:25, go to Potter's at 3:30, leave Potter's at 4, and home at 4:05. The note established time is underlined between 3:30 and 4. Rankin puts the list in his pocket as his students arrive at a lecture hall and sit before him. A clock behind him reads 2:30.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Today we will attempt to finish with the career of Friedrich the Grosser, König von Preußen.
He checks his watch against the clock.
Brandenburg, Prince von Paulen. Frederick the Great to you.
In Potter's phone booth, he makes a call.
863.
On the phone booth's notepad, he draws lines, which become a backward swastika. At home, Mary picks up the phone.
Hello?
Oh, Mary.
He draws lines over the swastika.
All right, this is Charles. Can you hear me, dear? I can't speak very loudly where I am, but I want you to understand this. Something very important has come up. You must come to the church immediately. The church tower. Understand?
Yes, I understand.
I don't want anybody to know that you're going there. Mary, don't tell anybody you're going. Go to the church tower and leave your car in the rear and come in through the back door. Okay. Right.
Hanging up, he tears the page from the notepad, peers out of the booth, and leaves it.
Anybody?
They're coming.
Well,
they're
coming.
Yes, sir.
Stack that wood down here with the rest of them and then get back to work.
Yes, sir.
As Peabody delivers an armful of firewood, Rankin looks out the window, then sits across the checkerboard from Potter.
Watch that, Mr. Peabody.
At the Rankin house.
Gone someplace?
Ignoring Sarah, Mary puts on her shoes.
Where to? Well, I asked you where you was going, Miss Mary.
I heard.
Well,
Sarah, you seem to forget I'm no longer a child. I'm a married woman.
Well, you ain't been married very long.
Wearing her coat, she hurries to the door.
Wait, Mrs. Rankin.
Mary stops.
What is it? I'm in a hurry.
Well, you don't need to go bite my head off.
With the door ajar, Mary slams it. Then steps toward her.
What is it, Sarah?
Well, I...
Sarah turns away, crying.
If you've got something to say, say it. What is it, Sarah?
I don't know what's got into you lately. Indeed, I don't. You never was mean to me like this back at the old house.
Sarah,
maybe I've outworn my usefulness. I'm not as young as I used to be. Maybe you don't want me around anymore.
For heaven's sake, stop talking such nonsense.
Well, it's true, and you know it. I'm going to pack my things and leave here. Indeed, I am.
Sarah, I'm sorry if I've hurt your feelings. I didn't mean to. Really, I didn't. Sarah. Now, I couldn't get along without you, and you know that, don't you? Well, don't you?
Honest, Miss Mary.
Yeah, honestly, Sarah.
Oh, Miss Mary.
They hug.
Sarah.
Sarah, please, wait just a minute. Sarah, you'll never leave me, will you?
You know how I feel about you, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Like it was my own daughter, yes, my own little girl. How could I?
Sarah, I've got to go now. Really, I do. I've promised to be somewhere.
Well, where to, Miss Mary?
She stops at the door again. Then turns to Sarah.
Stop fussing, Sarah. It's a secret.
She opens the door.
Oh, Miss Mary!
She runs to Sarah, who's collapsed.
What's the matter? Sarah, what's the matter?
My heart.
What's the matter?
I can't breathe. The pain. Oh, no, Miss Mary.
Mary grabs a pillow and sets it under Sarah's head.
Lie right there. Keep quiet. Keep quiet now, Sarah.
Maybe I'm dying.
You're not dying.
She picks up the phone.
Stay with me.
I won't leave you. 130, please.
Noah picks up his phone.
Yes, Mary?
Look, I was supposed to meet Charles at the clock tower right away, and I can't get there. Will you go and tell him to please wait for me? And know it. No one's to know where or why you're going. It's important.
All right.
Hanging up, Noah thinks, then picks up the phone again.
238, please. Hello, may I speak to Mr. Wilson?
Back at Potter's.
Looks like it's coming up for snow.
Yes, that's right.
Rankin jumps a couple of Potter's pieces on the checkerboard, while Noah and Wilson walk over a bridge toward the church. Rankin jumps some more pieces as two women enter Potter's.
Oh!
Mrs. Rand, Mrs. Lundstrom. Isn't it after hours? You ladies are working too hard at the library.
Turned away from the window, Rankin doesn't notice Noah and Wilson entering the church.
You're exactly right. I dismissed class 10 minutes early. Yes.
He checks the church clock.
3:44. I was playing checkers with Mr. Potter, and I didn't realize.
You know what you are, Mr. Rankin. You're the absent-minded professor.
In the clock tower, Wilson climbs the ladder and Noah follows. Wilson climbs rung by rung. He leads Noah closer to the top. Grabs a cut one, which breaks. With the other hand, he hangs by the next rung down, his legs dangling.
You sure are lucky today.
At Potter's.
You sure are.
Rankin jumps more of Potter's pieces.
Sorry, Mr. Potter, I can't find him.
What?
The yearbook.
It ran over there by the mittens.
Come on, Mr. Potter, help us look.
Well, I'll be right back in a minute, Professor.
When Potter goes to help the customer.
Where I told you there was.
Goes?
Yeah.
Rankin checks his list. 4:00, leave Potter's. 4:05, home.
Well, that's an awful lot.
Well, they come high this year. You want this thing?
Well, I'll keep it. You know, Mr. Potter, you're a bad influence. I intended only to spend a couple of minutes. You've made me spend the whole afternoon. Look what time it is.
Yeah. I'd like to get even.
It's your move.
In the clock tower, Noah helps Wilson safely to the bottom.
He really had the wind up.
Golly.
You can still smell the glue where he joined it.
At Potter's.
Exactly, Professor.
He glances out.
Like I told you, it's coming up for snow.
they continue their game. While Potter considers his next move, Rankin steps to a pot-bellied stove behind him and uses it to set his list on fire.
Look here, Professor.
Dropping it into the stove, he turns back to the board.
Devil or nothing?
As Potter prepares to open his register, Rankin makes one more move that stops him.
Afternoon, Mr. Potter.
He leaves while the figures circle the church clock tolling four. Rankin watches them as he walks through the town and soon arrives home, unaware of Mary's shadow on a nearby wall. He walks through the house.
Charles?
Stunned, he turns to her. He approaches her, staring with disbelief.
He didn't go to the church.
No, Sarah.
Sarah, what about Sarah?
Well, just as I was leaving, Sarah had some kind of an attack. Okay. She's resting now, yes. And Jeff said it wasn't very serious, but that I should stay with her.
Mm-hmm. He looks around and opens the grandfather clock. He winds it.
What's the matter, Charles?
Nothing's the matter.
Then why did you want me to go to the church? You said it was important.
It isn't important. Nothing, Angela. It's my sense of proportion is failing me these days.
He adjusts underneath.
Please, Charles, what is...
Her touch startles him.
I'm sorry. Just begun to feel a strain.
He turns to her.
You see, I have my weak moments, too. I'll tell you of my own good time.
They found out anything more?
No, nothing. It's nothing to find out, unless you.
No, I haven't seen anybody all day. I've been in my room.
There's a rumor going around that there's an arrest to be made.
He sits on the couch.
My headaches. The incident of the beads yesterday made me doubt your strength. I thought maybe you'd gone to your father and told him something. If you had...
She sits beside him.
You didn't have to be afraid.
No.
Why did you tell Noah?
Why, what about?
Didn't you see him?
No, why should I see Noah?
Well, did you come here directly from the church?
Am I being cross-examined?
Well, no, but when I found I couldn't leave Sarah, I called Noah and told him to go there and tell you I was detained.
I told you not to call anybody.
Oh, but surely Noah...
Call him and tell him not to go!
Well, I can't.
He jumps up.
Call him, I say!
He's gone!
If he dies, his blood will be on your hands.
What are you saying?
It's your meddling that's done this. It would have been all right if it wasn't for you. To let you. You had to be here. On that day.
He kicks the clock.
Calling Noah!
Did you kill Noah?
Yes, if he goes to the church and climbs up that ladder!
Standing. She stares at him.
It was I you intended to kill, wasn't it?
No.
Why wasn't it I? Kinder! Kill me. Kill me, I want you to. I couldn't face life knowing what I've been to you and what I've done to Noah. But when you kill me, don't put your hands on me. Here!
She grabs a fireplace poker.
Use this!
Outside, a snow-covered car arrives, and men pile out of it. The poker is dropped. Jeff, Adam, Wilson, and Noah burst in to find a swinging kitchen door.
Mary.
Alone. She turns to her brother.
Oh.
She faints in his arms.
Operator. Get me the state police.
At 11 o'clock, the angel figure holding a sword passes in front of the church clock. Wilson's on the phone.
Yes, the roadblocks are up. We're watching the railroad station and he isn't hiding in the woods.
In bed, Mary slowly opens her eyes. Reaches full consciousness. She sits up and slides her feet into a pair of slippers, crossing the bedroom She puts a robe on over her nightgown. She leaves the room. Soon after, she walks away from the Longstreet residence carrying a small box. Sarah enters the bedroom and finds Mary gone.
Judge Longstreet! Judge Longstreet!
Mary walks through the cemetery, her gown dusting the snow. Noah and Adam run out of the residence.
Get worse, Noah. I'll go for the police.
Mary approaches the church. As she steps inside, Noah runs into Wilson's room.
Mr. Wilson.
Well, if he is what I think he is, it's got to be easy. We'll do everything possible to bring him back.
She's gone, Mr. Wilson.
He hangs up the phone.
She's not in the house.
Clock tower?
I don't know.
Well, if that's what he's hiding, if she gets there before us...
They run out.
What do we do?
Call Captain Samuels and the deputies. Get all the help you can.
Where?
Wilson falls down a flight of stairs. Noah hurries to help him up.
Ouch. The church.
What about you?
I'll get there.
Arriving at the bottom of the clock tower, Mary puts the box under one arm and climbs up the ladder with one hand. Quickly moving from rung to rung, she climbs calmly and methodically. She glances down and pauses. But she gazes up at her destination and continues on.
Don't move.
Rankin looks down at her.
I have a gun.
You don't need it. I'm alone.
What are you doing here?
Lift me up.
With one hand, he takes her climbing hand. She holds on, dangling but unfazed.
You're telling the truth?
Why should I lie?
He pulls her up to him.
You were followed here?
I came by our way, through the cemetery. No one saw me.
He leads her through a door to the clock. She gives him the small box. He opens it and finds it empty.
I needed the excuse. I was afraid you wouldn't let me up.
He drops it.
What do you want?
I came to kill you.
No, Mary, it's you that's going to die.
You were meant to fall through that ladder. You're going to fall.
I don't mind if I take you with me.
You are a fool.
They searched the woods. I watched them. Here, like God, looking into the lands. I'll hide in the woods. They won't search there again. A day or two, they'll be sure I got out of town.
When they find me, they'll know you're still here.
But, darling, you're on the verge of a breakdown. Now you've cracked. Why else would you leave your bed? Climb to an empty church tower in the dead of night. Any child could see you'd wind up killing yourself.
Killing is what led you here.
He turns to Wilson in the door.
It won't help you now.
Mary tries to grab Rankin's gun, but he pushes her aside.
Look out the window. Look!
The angel stands there.
Well, that's an old trick, Mr. Wilson. A very poor trick. Tricks. That's all you know is tricks. I don't need any tricks. No matter what happens to me, tricks won't do you any good. You're finished, Herr Franz Kindler.
Police and townspeople frantically gather below. Closing the door, Rankin looks down at them through some slats.
Citizens of Harper. They've come after you. The plain little ordinary people, the ones you've been laughing at, Herr Franz Kindler. Well, you can't fool them anymore.
Rankin steps toward him.
Oh, sure, you can kill me, Mary, half the people down there. But there's no escape. You'd have the world, and it closed in on you till there was only Harper. That closed in on you, and there was only this room. And this room, too, is closing in on you.
It's not true, the things they say I did. It's all their idea. I followed orders.
You gave the orders.
I only did my duty. Don't send me back to them. I can't face them. I'm not a criminal.
You are.
When Rankin turns to Mary, Wilson bats the gun from his hand. The men lunge at it, but Mary picks it up. She fires wildly, hitting the clock mechanism. As the figures start to race around the clock, she shoots toward Rankin, who's climbing more rafters of the tower, knocking down debris that almost hits Wilson. She fires again and hits Rankin's arm. He falls to a lower rafter as the figures speed past Mary.
Give me that!
Wilson grabs the gun and aims toward Rankin climbing again, but the gun is out of bullets. Rankin sits on a belfry windowsill, holding his arm, dazed and losing blood. He falls out of the window, drops past the clock face and onto the figure's track. Staying on the ledge, he struggles to his feet. A demon figure rolls toward him and he steps around it, but the angel rolls at him and runs him through with her sword. It rolls on, with the sword protruding from his back as they move past the clock dial. When they stop, he pulls himself off the sword. As the clock's hands spin, Rankin and the angel teeter on the ledge. He pushes it off and it tumbles to the ground far below. With no more support, he follows, plummeting down. Later, Mary is helped down from the ladder, while Wilson remains above.
All right, Mr. Wilson, Mary's safe. Let me give you a hand.
No thanks.
Hi, what happened?
V-Day and Harper.
Don't get that. Come on down.
Not till you get me a new ladder. I've had my ankle busted and my head cocked. From here on in, my friends, I'm taking it easy.
The End, described for Movies for the Blind. And that was The Stranger, with an ending that can match up with those of a lot of modern action movies, and probably influencing a few of them. As Orson Welles' most conventional film, in which he did work within the Hollywood system and succeeded, it was the one Welles later considered his least favorite. But the fact it made a profit allowed him to make The Lady from Shanghai with his estranged wife, Rita Hayworth, another Orson Welles film which would find immediate acclaim only in Europe and become considered a classic around the world decades later. Coming up, something that was a classic right out of the box as we become TV for the Blind with Dick Van Dyke.
Robert, how did you manage to mess my beautiful wall?
Honey, 95% of beautiful wall is still beautiful and clean.
Now we're going to have the whole room repainted, and we just had it done.
Were you here when that cute little Italian guy came by looking for work, wallpapering and painting?
Yes, I was.
Mr. and Mrs. Petri, I got to tell you something. You got the most beautiful, the most beautiful walls.
He seems to know what he's doing, and he loves our walls. See the way he's caressing those walls?
I saw. I think he's a nut. Somebody's been cooking in my kitchen.
Somebody's been sitting in my chair. And somebody's been drinking out of my cup.
Well, Signor Giotto certainly feels right at home here, doesn't he?
5 days. You know something? It's getting to be madness. He hasn't put the first coat on this room yet.
Rob, you know what I wish you'd do?
What?
Something. Anything.
I gotta get him out of here. I gotta get him out of here.
That's Give Me Your Walls, an episode of The Dick Van Dyke Show, next time on Movies for the Blind, and with video to come. For more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, check the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. The movies are from the Internet Archive, which is also the host for this podcast. So please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.